The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher, sometimes under Toy World Order.
Sometimes,
yeah.
Occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally.
That ever get worked out?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't checked it. I'm sure it did eventually. Brought to you by Shelled Comics, the Shelled Comics blog, and more at ShelledComics.com.
Probably, I would imagine, brought to you by Shelled Comics.
Maybe. It's hard to say. Welcome, my co-host, Dave Draper. Maybe, yay, if you're lucky. This may or may not be Dave Draper.
Hooray.
Yay. We got a lot of news to talk about this week.
Okay.
I just want to get one thing out of the way and talk about this weekend. We had to say goodbye to our little friend Dash. Unfortunately, his little heart just was given out on us, and we had to make the decision to let him rest finally. So Dash is no longer with us, and you'll no longer hear us talking about a little puppy dog down there making cute noises. But
yeah,
he was a good little dog.
He was.
He was a good little friend. So, with the depressing news out of the way, and thank you to Dave for being there with Carrie and I.
Of course.
Which kind of sucks for Dave because he just had to go through all that like less than a month
ago. There was a part of me that's like, I'm not done milking this yet. Now I got to be the supportive one.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, sorry, dude.
That's fine.
we rained on your parade, sorry.
I know, right?
We rained on your depressing parade.
I was the one who was getting all the attention. Can I ask you a question, though?
Sure.
Did Facebook do this to you, too? Where, like, after Casey, I got this thing from Facebook. I was like, we've noticed you've gotten all these posts and likes. The metrics are really great.
Oh.
I'm so glad that you're happy that I'm generating a lot of content based on my dead dog.
Yeah, I know. It was like, you've shared 4 days in a row. And it's like, that's great, Facebook. Thank you very much for that.
You've gotten so many likes and responses.
Yeah,
I'm so...
Thank you for measuring my sorrow, Facebook, own stupid way.
Sorry, guys. That's a once-in-a-decade trick.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, not gonna...
Not gonna happen anytime soon.
Good gosh. A lot of stuff as we head into San Diego Comic-Con. And lots of anything. Have you heard of a Cyanide and Happiness?
We played the game.
We did play the game. We did.
I have heard of it.
It's also an online comic, animated comic.
I know. Well, it was originally a comic, and then it became an online thing.
Yes.
Or it became an animated thing.
Yes. Studio 71, the company behind it, is launching their first ever line of collectible minifigures at San Diego Comic-Con this year, consisting of 12 unique Cyanide and Happiness characters handpicked from the archives to create a truly collectible line. They'll all be packed in individual boxes that look the same. Of course, they're all blind boxed. However, there's an opportunity at Comic-Con for fans to purchase a convention-exclusive set with all 12 minifigures, as well as an additional bonus Golden God figure. and the creator, Ron Den Blaker, will be on hand to sign the figures on Thursday of Comic-Con, so of this week. So
I imagine that must be a circle of hell.
Yeah. The Cyanide and Happiness figure minifigures include the following characters: Ultra Soldier, the Ketchup Cowboy, Lunk, Senior Clean Fist, Shark Rad, Clawford, Satan, God, Blue Shirt Guy, Ketchup Man, Green Shirt Guy, and Butt Shark. Because everyone has a Butt Shark. I mean, who doesn't want Butt Shark, for God's sakes? I would like to have Butt Shark.
I know, you would.
Yes. Before we get into another Comic-Con news, San Diego, Los Angeles, is hosting PowerCon this year in September, on September 9th and 10th. And two new reveals of Mythic Legends Colosseum.
Legions.
What did I say?
Legends.
Legends, sorry. Mythic Legions Colosseum were revealed. This is Adamon and Keltis. Nice little homages to the to He-Man and Skeletor.
Hey, those look like He-Man and Skeletor.
They've got the shield.
They do have the shield.
And the spear and everything. Hey.
Hey, what kind of rip-off move is this?
Hey,
now.
Those figures will be $35.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you, Super 7 all of a sudden?
I know. Well, it's the Four Horsemen. Store Horsemen will have those at PowerCon. $35 a piece. A piece. Hot Toys is presenting their latest television masterpiece as a Toy Fair exclusive item, only available in selected markets. The first one being Ghost Rider, as seen in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this past year, which actually was probably the best part of the start of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then they did away with him, and then it got kind of crappy.
Well, that's because it cost too much money.
Yeah. Yep.
They've actually said it cost too much
money. I know, but he was the best part of the show. Ghost Rider can be had... I'm not sure if he'll be at San Diego Comic-Con or not. Usually they are, and it'll probably be at the Sideshow booth where you can order him, but it's like a pre-order kind of thing. And then their other Toy Fair exclusive is the Batman v Superman armored Batman battle damaged version. So yet another Batman v Superman figure of Batman.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I said too. I was like, it's all right. It's kind of cool looking, I guess.
Yeah.
It's got the busted helmet, so you can see part of Affleck in there. It looks cool, but
and I'm hoping we're moving on to better things.
Well, we kind of are because Hot Toys.
In terms of the movies,
right? Hot Toys did show off. I was looking for it. I don't know if I might have just accidentally closed. Oh, there it is. Teased figures for the upcoming sci-fi film Valerian.
Okay,
so. Valerian and Lorelei are the two characters they've teased. Those will be...
They're betting that that's a popular thing.
Dude, there's been so much about Valerian, about how this is a movie that can't flop. Like, there's just no way around it.
Oh, that's... Yeah, the Titanic couldn't sink either.
Yeah, I'm like, Luc Besson may have, like, single-handedly funded this film, but oh, it can flop. Oh, it can flop bad.
Yeah, no. Now, for the record, it looked neat, and I would like to see it.
Yes, I would too.
I'm just saying, like... The history of cinema is littered with can't miss movies that
boy isn't it
missed badly.
But those will be we'll have pictures of those later this week at San Diego Comic Con. Diamond Select Toys announced the Pacific Rim Uprising 7-inch select figures and more.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Is that the next movie?
That is next year's highly anticipated sequel the original Pacific Rim. So we're getting all new 7-inch figures. Which is kind of sad, because NECA did the last one. So.
Yeah, NECA did the line pretty much, period.
Yep. In addition to new Jaegers and Kaiju Pacific Rim Uprising will showcase exciting new characters, such as John Boyega and Scott Eastwood, as well as...
Indifferent.
As well as returning cast members Rinko Kikuchi, ooh, Charlie Day, ooh, and Bern Gorman, alongside some new exciting faces.
I knew Day was coming back, because they said... the original concept revolved around him.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've... moved off of that. She was coming back. I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah. Zyka Toys. Zyka. Let's just get some product out there, buddy.
Yeah, I know, right?
They've announced they're planning on launching a wave of 1/18th figures based on Eric Larson's Savage Dragon figure.
So that's a whole separate thing?
Yep. The wave will include three versions of Dragon, and the plan is to use Kickstarter later this year to try and fund the line.
Ugh.
You guys haven't even released product to people's hands. Stop. For the love of God, stop and release something for Jesus, baby Jesus' sake.
Like, I'm kind of like, these are neat. I would like to get these, but just really stop showing off stuff and start making stuff.
Yeah, why don't you get product into people's hands and see if they want to kickstart anything else from you guys? Because you're still,
still behind.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, it all looks neat, and I would like to support it. And if I can get some good figures in my hands, I might go, like with Boss Fight, I will support it in Kickstarter. And then now they're all doing it just normal pre-sales like a real company.
Like a big boy company.
But all that stuff, like both waves of the next series of
Vitruvian Hacks
are pre-ordered.
Yep.
So
we talked about this, I believe, last year's Comic-Con. Blitzway was doing a line of 1/6 scale Ghostbusters figures.
Were they?
Yes. This year, they gave some sneak peeks, and they'll have it on display, but they showed off the 1/6 scale Ecto-1 for the Blitzway 12-inch figures, and it's a monstrosity. Let's just put it... People thought the DeLorean was big.
Dave did another Dave.
Oh.
Where at 1/6 scale, for some reason, I thought... I pulled another Dave. Oh, I thought those were for 6-inch figures.
Yeah, no, that's...
And I'm like, wow, and I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, that's
these are for 12-inch
that's
figures.
That's the 12-inch Ecto-1.
Oh, my God, that's madness.
Yeah, and I've seen...
How many kidneys do you have to sell?
Probably many.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's...
That's horrifying.
It's just the picture. I've seen video of it, and I couldn't find it for this, but, you know, the lights are going. They open the doors. All the doors open.
It better.
I don't think it makes the siren noise, unfortunately. I haven't...
Hey, Playmobil pulled that off.
I know, right? But, yeah, it is massive. It is a massive, massive toy.
Oh my God, it's a coffee table.
It is, technically. I mean, it almost looks... I mean, it's sitting on one of those... it's sitting on, like, a big piece of plywood with wheels on it so they can roll it around. But, yeah, technically, it's a freaking coffee table. I mean, it's just
good
damn
God.
Huge. I know.
These nerds get all this money.
I don't know. They're all lawyers, apparently, and doctors. NECA revealed that the first ever action figure featuring the likeness of director James Cameron will be joining the Aliens line later this year. Features the likeness of Cameron as he appeared during the filming of Aliens, as well as a few fun Easter eggs relating to the director hidden on the figure itself. Canadian flag shoulder patch, the Lightstorm logo, a Pandora planet patch. So, you know, just some fun little stuff.
Yeah.
Figure will come with a pistol, pulse rifle, and tracking device, plus two behind-the-scenes accessories, a replica clapboard, and the viewfinder Cameron wore around his neck while filming for setting up shots. You'll be able to purchase that at NECA, at the NECA store, as well as Toys R Us stores later this year for $24.99.
If we get them.
Yeah, if we get them. It's cool. It's kind of neat that...
I want one. I would absolutely like to get one.
And I was seeing some talk between Randy Falk and the guy who they work with Lightstorm. Like, they've worked for like 3 years to get this done because Cameron is just notoriously, well, unapproachable and busy half the time.
He's usually underwater most of the time.
Exactly. So they finally...
Bottom of the ocean.
They finally were able to get this figure made, which is kind of cool, so...
Yeah, I would like to, because I have the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings one.
Yes.
I have Jorg Sakul.
Yes.
I have all three George Lucas ones.
McFarlane Toys a few months ago announced they were going to do some color tops based on the original Star Trek series. They've released images for both Picard and Kirk. And again, the color tops, not that poseable. Kind of are, but not
really.
Yeah,
I would go with the, who are the ones who are doing the crazy... Oh, we were just talking about my inability to remember to get scales right.
Oh, Mezco's doing
Mezco's doing Star Trek.
Yeah, they're doing the 1/4 scale.
No, not the 1/4 scale. They're doing the
1/12 scale. 1/12 scale. 1/4 scale would be really big.
Yeah, those would be huge.
Yeah, those would be giant. But they've showed off the color tops for Kirk, who looks great, and Picard, who looks great. But again, they're basically statues. Basically,
they're statues.
If you ever bought the Sideshow Monsters that Sideshow did, the action figures they did, like, years ago in the 90s, before Sideshow was doing 12-inch and all
this
other stuff.
That's old school.
These are kind of the same idea. Those were very not so poseable. They came with display stands. Like,
see, I don't understand the appeal of that at this point when you've got the Mezco stuff. You've got
plenty of
action figures.
None of that makes sense to me.
Like, why are you doing another wave of stuff that just is just
it's
statues?
Hard to say. Another NECA thing, they showed off images of the RoboCop vs. Terminator 7-inch Endocop and the Terminator Dog 2-pack coming later this year. Those will be out in October. I kind of figured Dave would want the dog because he's freaking neat looking.
That's kind of a cool robot dog.
The Endocop is kind of neat, too. I mean, it's an endoskeleton with a RoboCop overlay, and he's kind of... badass looking, really. It's kind of neat. Like, it's like you see RoboCop and then you see the endoskeleton, and you're like, but yeah, the RoboDog is kind of neat.
RoboDog is badass. Yeah.
And everybody needs a Terminator dog. Let's be honest, we all need Terminator dogs.
I think so.
So we can just go dun 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 woof, dun 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 woof. Na na na. Sorry. That's my dumb mind.
I'm smirking a little bit.
I know. Getting into some of the news at D23, which we'll talk about at length, because there was a lot revealed that revolves around the world that Dave and I live in.
Angry young man.
They showed off the during a panel. They just like brought it out. They were like, "Hey, look what's coming out from Hasbro here soon." Is a 12-inch Marvel Legends Black Panther, which has the head sculpt of Bozeman, as well as a masked head sculpt, which actually kind of looks like a sad kitty cat. But that's what the mask looks like. But very much sad kitty. Sad kitty.
I mean, it's cool that they're doing them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not that into it. Like, I'm waiting for the Hulk to come out finally.
Yep.
But, like, I've seen the Target exclusive Black Spider-Man.
Right.
I've seen the Deadpools.
Yeah, they're cool, but out of your scale. And
yeah, it's just, like, it's another thing to collect. It's like, yeah, I know. I think I'm going to go down that
road. No. They'll be $50 and available spring 2018. So.
Yeah, it's right around when that movie's coming out.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's almost like they timed that.
We'll have many, plenty more toy stuff to talk about next weekend as well as movies, but this last weekend was D23, Disney's biannual convention. They do it every
biannual?
It is biannual. They do it every 2 years.
Oh, okay.
They do it every 2 years. And this year's, of course, we're leading into Star Wars The Last Jedi and Avengers Infinity War and like all of these crazy stuff. But some of the stuff they showed during the convention this year, they revealed the behind-the-scenes look at Star Wars The Last Jedi, which was a nice little, I don't know, about 3.5-minute behind-the-scenes. Kind of, they did the same thing for Force Awakens. And it was nice. It was cool to see.
Yeah.
It was a lot of cool stuff, to like all the new animatronics, the little creatures that apparently inhabit the world that
Luke
is on.
Planet Ireland.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I haven't had it specifically confirmed. But I've heard that, like, they said that there were weird little puff-like creatures that lived on that planet.
Yes.
And then we see the cute little thing.
Yeah, we see the cute little
things.
I
want one.
Yeah.
I'm sure Hasbro will do, like, a scale animatronic one.
Yes, Dave wants the toys.
Well, we'll see.
They showed off these really cool, like, diamond wolves that were kind of neat. Like, these animatronic diamond wolves.
Yeah, I saw those.
Those were kind of neat. I was like, oh, that looks amazing. Of course, well, in that lighting, you were like, it looks neat. But you're thinking, like, once they studio light it and everything and add little effects to it, you're like, that's going to look awesome. But it was really cool.
Got to see the casino.
Got to see the casino.
The weird little slug croupier guy.
Yes. All of our main characters, including great moments with Leia, which were kind of cool because she kind of ended that with talking about Star Wars was family, and so a nice moment for Leia. But some really cool, it was cool. If you haven't seen it yet, I can't imagine you haven't. But go watch it. It's well worth seeing. And then with that, they revealed an all new series of character posters with all the characters in red. So Rey and her Jedi cloak with her light, with I'm guessing Luke's lightsaber. I'm guessing she.
Well, Anakin's.
Anakin's. Finn. Let's see, who else did we get? We got Poe. We got Kylo Ren without his helmet. Luke, Leia. It's just a really cool. Neat posters where they're just like all their clothes are red, and that's not sure what that signifies yet. But
well, it's interesting because if you actually like looked at the footage, everything seems real. The color scheme seems real, sort of earth tones,
yes.
And muted and orange and browns.
Yeah.
And then there's that red dust on that planet.
Yes,
that's like that really pops because it's like the only real bright color in the trailers.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I don't know.
Might be.
My crazy guess, just several months out with nothing to go on, is that red dust is some kind of important thing.
Yes.
Or something, I don't know.
A bunch of Disney movie news. We'll talk about a few things. One of the things I was most excited about was Disney Animation showed off the first major details of Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Did you know that they're going to have Disney princesses in Wreck-It Ralph 2?
I did.
Jason.
Yes.
Did you know that Ariel's going to be in Wreck-It Ralph 2?
I did.
Because you like Ariel, right?
I do.
Jason.
Yes.
Did you know that Ariel's going to be in Wreck-It Ralph 2?
I did.
Did anyone bother to tell you that?
Many people did. Bless their hearts. Of course, I was keeping up with it the entire weekend, so I was well aware of it, which is all. But still.
This is how I feel every time a Star Wars thing breaks.
Awesome for, I mean, people pointing it out to me, which is great. But I did. I was reading about it. The movie's very interesting. It's a very interesting concept that the arcade that they're in gets Wi-Fi, and Ralph and Vanellope go into the internet because they have to find a replacement part for Sugar Crush because Vanellope's game is broke and they need a part. So they go into the internet to try to find the part, which is kind of cute. But inside the internet, they come across all kinds of stuff, but they also end up. They literally end up in the website ohmydisney.com, which is a real website that Disney runs. And it while they're inside of this
internet,
the fandoms of Star Wars, Marvel,
Nerdy.
And Disney princesses all kind of intermingle. Like the princesses are getting ready for something, and like C-3PO's taking care of them, and it's pretty cool. Kind of banter that happens when all the Avengers are in a room together. For example, Meridia says something, and one of the other princesses says, "Don't worry about her. She's from another studio." C-3PO tells them they need to be on stage in 5 minutes, and one princess refers to him as that BB-8, knowing that he hates that. The Golden Droid says he never thought he'd wish for the days of being with Han Solo. So lots of neat little dialogue. All the original voice actors are back, not only for the original characters, but for all of these characters that are portraying, you know, Ariel and Mulan, C-3PO, like everyone's...
Isn't Snow White dead by now?
Well, they've got sound-alikes that...
Oh, okay. So not the original, it's the sound-alike.
Right.
Okay.
Jane Lynch is also back as Sergeant Calhoun. Nothing about Fix-It Felix, which is interesting, but Alan Tudyk will be back and have some kind of role.
That's weird.
Though it won't be as the first film's King Candy again, so... King Candy is not coming back, but Alan Tudyk will return, which Alan Tudyk has become like Disney's like special little, like Pixar's got John Ratzenberger. Like Disney Animation and Disney films in general now seem to have Tudyk because he keeps doing all this amazing fun stuff. Like he was the voice of Pepe and Moana, the little chicken. He was doing the chicken voice the entire time.
Okay.
And then of course he did
KSO.
And then of course he did King Candy and brilliantly King Candy. They showed off some tidbits of Frozen 2, which is whatever. They showed footage from the live action remake of The Lion King, which they're still working on,
which again feels very oxymoronic.
It does, but apparently they recreated the entire opening sequence of The Lion King, you know, the musical with all the animals coming to Pride Rock, but with photo, imagine that, with photorealistic animals.
That's cool, but that's still not live action. It's all CGI.
Well, it's in the vein of Jungle Book, but they, you know, live action.
That had Mowgli.
Right.
Human.
Yes. But it's interesting, like, they announced, you know, they've announced the voice cast. You know, James Earl Jones is coming back as Mufasa.
Oh, neat.
Donald Glover is going to play Simba.
Okay.
Timon and Pumbaa are played by Seth Rogen and... there's a comedian that still does it, but he used to do this thing online where he'd yell at people on the street and ask them questions. I can't think of his name, but he's gotten real big. He's gonna be Timon.
Sounds delightful.
And then I don't think they've actually officially announced it, but Jackman was in town, and they're saying Scar is gonna be Scar. So Mary Poppins Returns had some footage.
Yeah, the Yondu solo film.
Yes. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. Tim Burton apparently recorded a special message from the set of his live-action Dumbo remake. Yes, they're doing a live-action Dumbo. Why? I don't know.
Because they're milking all the Disney's.
I don't know. What do you mean?
You're the one who's all like, yeah, it's Beauty and the Beast, and it's live-action Lion King, and suddenly with Dumbo. It's odd that Dumbo would be the line for you, especially Tim Burton Dumbo.
Well, I know.
Like, that seems like a match made in heaven.
I know. So they showed off, during the Marvel panel, they showed off footage. Well, they assembled a lot of the cast on stage, and then they showed off footage of Infinity War.
Would you say they assembled the Avengers?
They assembled everybody. I'll just run through what basically, kind of a little bit of what happened, but the footage began with Team Guardians flying through a debris field, and somebody slams into their ship on the windshield, and that person is Thor with the short hair he has in Thor Ragnarok. So they bring Thor in to try to wake him up. Thor wants to know where he's at, and something's terribly wrong. You get to see Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. We see the hair raise up on Parker's arm as he looks out of a school bus. We see Spider-Man in the new super advanced suit standing on some sort of aircraft, the suit we saw at the end of Amazing Spider-Man, or the end of Spider-Man Homecoming. We get to see Cap with a beard. We see Doctor Strange with the Guardians and Iron Man looking really worried. Loki giving the Tesseract over to someone who they assume...
The Tesseract.
Tesseract, sorry.
Tesseract.
Sorry, Jesus. The Tesseract.
You're adorable.
I know, goodness.
The Tesseract.
Sorry.
That actually could be like a stupid Marvel thing.
Yes.
The Tesseract.
And I know there's... it was a long trailer that they did announce.
Yeah, they want to let us.
They're not going to show it.
Poops.
Yeah, they're not going to release it.
Butt poops.
It was just for D23. So, again, we're back.
Filthy butt poops.
And nobody pirated the damn thing, which makes me furious.
Cowards and weaklings. All of you.
furious. They gave a name to the new Star Wars theme land, finally. It's called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So that's the name of the land.
Okay.
I don't know if I think that's... I might actually be the name of the planet that it's on. It's just called Galaxy's Edge.
That would be very, very weak.
Yeah, it would be. It would be very, very, very weak.
It's fine for a name for like the land and the experience, but to actually call it that planet,
yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah. They also showed off at D23 the complete Imagineering model for the land, which was huge.
Yeah.
Again, it's 14 acres, so it's ginormous.
Yeah.
But of course, we get all the, you know, the Millennium Falcon.
There's a TIE fighter.
There's a TIE fighter. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting stuff. I think there's an X-wing. There's an A-wing. I thought there was a walker at one point in an AT-AT, but it looks really cool. I mean, it's neat.
Yeah, I was talking to you about this before we started. The fact that it's its own planet and not one of the iconic ones,
right?
Well, it just takes something away. And then this shot of like the Back to the Future 2 DeLorean ride cockpit for the Falcon,
right?
You've got like 90 seats. Because we got to accommodate everybody because it's a ride. So yeah. we got like eight, looks like eight seats in the Falcon cockpit.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not the Falcon cockpit.
Yeah, I know.
Inaccurate.
Sorry.
Non-canonical.
Details begin to trickle out. They reveal that guests will have the chance to ride inside a Star Destroyer as part of the unnamed Escape Dark Ride, which sees guests fleeing the First Order and coming face-to-face with a AT-AT walker. RX-24, as he's more commonly known by fans as Rex, is back. The hapless droid. Yep, the hapless droid who used to pilot your ship in the original incarnation of Star Tours attraction has found his way to Star Wars Galaxy Edge. Well, he will serve as a cantina DJ. And since this is Rex we're talking about, you know something is going to go wrong. Concept art teased a moment between Chewbacca and Hondo from Star Wars Rebels, with the two of them shaking hands, making some sort of a deal. As expected, you'll be able to counter the various heroes of the Star Wars universe and the villains, too, as you might feel the wrath of Kylo Ren. Seems that the meeting between Chewbacca and Hondo may be part of the much-hyped Millennium Falcon simulator attraction, which will place you in the cockpit of the famed spaceship. We previously heard that guests will be able to impact the ride experience, plotting well or poorly, with varying results. The hottest flight crews can earn extra credits, but if you beat the ship up during your ride, a bounty hunter may come after you in the cantina. The presentation didn't focus on shops and souvenirs, but they did tease Doc Arnart and his very unique collection, so we can probably expect all kinds of trinkets and in-universe goodies to be available for purchase, which...
I don't know who Doc Arnart is.
Yeah, I don't know either, but... It sounds very intriguing.
The Hondo Chewy thing is kind of cute.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
Because Hondo's based on the original Ralph McQuarrie designs for Chewie.
Yes. And then, of course, they also announced that they'll be building almost a Westworld-type experience for Star Wars fans to a degree.
So we'll be murdered at the end?
No. They announced there. We kind of talked about this, but they're working on an immersive themed hotel set in the Star Wars universe that offers perhaps the most intriguing hint of where the company sees its park and resorts business going.
What would be a cool concept for that is to do like a hotel that's like a Star Wars universe cruise ship.
Yes. Well, and it says in this case, the environment would look like, would be a Disney World hotel designed to look like a massive starship with views of outer space from every window. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a place for lodging on the way to Galaxy's Edge. It would be an area where guests could have actual interactive experiences as part of the narrative storyline. We'll invite you to live your own dedicated multi-day adventure in a galaxy far, far away. Guests wouldn't wear flip-flops and shorts. They'd wear Star Wars costumes. They wouldn't deal with hotel employees. They'd interact with Star Wars creatures and droids. And over the course of their stay, the story would unfold around them in a series of story moments and interactions, letting them fall completely into a fictional world.
Oh, I gotta lose a lot of friggin' weight then.
Sure, synthetic humans may not be involved, and Ed Harris probably won't be poking around looking for a maze, but on a conceptual level, it's precisely the value proposition offered by the Delos Corporation in the HBO show of Westworld. So it does sound like a very interesting thing. So we'll see what happens with this. While they did announce they're working on it, they're still kind of working on some details. There's no opening date. I would imagine they try to get it all ironed out and working before Galaxy's Edge, but we'll see what happens. But it is a very... basically, although they did... there was a survey floating around earlier this year that floated a cost of $1,000 per guest for a two-night stay.
I remember that, yeah.
Which, in that case, for that type of experience, I think would be well worth it. Now, I'm sure it'll be limited rooms. It'll be very interesting. You know, it won't be like a massive hotel where thousands of people can stay. It's going to have to be a very limited-based thing. Let's see. Earlier this year, I got a sense of what it would be like to stay in that kind of... This guy's talking about... stay in that kind of environment during the Overlook Film Festival, which ran an immersive horror-themed game over several days. That experience included everything from scavenger hunts in a nearby town to mysterious 3 a.m. hotel visits from a recruiting cult. And while the genre was dramatically different from anything Disney would ever offer, it was an exhilarating example of the potential here. Living, sleeping, and eating inside a story is simply tremendous fun, and because people all respond and act differently, every experience becomes unique. So I'm actually kind of very, you know me, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but that type of experience.
Last week you were all, oh, I love Star Wars so much, I'm so excited.
That kind of experience bodes well for me to go, I kind of would like to see. You
actually got your nose out of joint when I suggested you didn't like Star Wars.
I did. I like Star Wars. I'm just not a huge Star Wars geek. I love the movies. I love what they represent. I love what they've done in the toy industry, but I'm just not a huge,
whatever,
like massive follower.
Whatever.
I lead, I don't follow.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You lead, yeah.
No,
I've seen where you lead to.
Yeah, it's bad places.
It's Warriors of Virtue is where you lead to, my friend.
I know. California Adventure is getting its own themed land based on the Marvel Universe, which they've been teasing. They kind of teased an Avengers-like big lock outside of the newest Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, and people were kind of speculating, what is that? Like... well, it turns out that's kind of that was their hint to tell you that a themed land is coming to Disney California Adventure. And why just California Adventure and not Disney World? I'll say it again. Because of the problem with Universal Studios Orlando and Adventures, the Isles of Adventure, they still own the Marvel characters in Orlando for at least another 5 or 10 years.
Something like that.
Although Marvel did announce that they are going to put in a Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Epcot Center. Now, they can use characters like Guardians and Doctor Strange.
They can use anybody with the Panther. Like the big, like
they can't use Hulk.
The big names from like 20 years ago. Or like
yeah, they
10
can't.
Years
they
ago.
Can't use Hulk. They can't use
Spider-Man, Iron Man,
Doctor
Captain
America. Fantastic Four. They can't use any of them.
Yeah, they wouldn't want to use Fantastic Four anyway.
But yep. So the Marvel Land themed land is coming to California Adventure. Like I said, Epcot's getting a facelift with a Guardians of the Galaxy ride, which will be replacing. The adventure the energy pavilion in Epcot, so they're going to close that down and replace it with a big Guardians of the Galaxy ride, a popular ride from Paris, the Paris parks. Ratatouille is coming to Epcot in the Paris pavilion and a new building they're building inside the pavilion, so there'll be a Ratatouille ride later in the next couple of years. They announced that the Great Movie Ride at Hollywood Studios is closing down. And they'll be reopening it and rebranding it with a new attraction. The first park attraction, like actual ride attraction based on Mickey Mouse. Like in the history of the parks, there's never been an actual ride for Mickey. There's been shows.
Yeah.
And there's been like 4D experiences, but there's never been a ride. And this will be the first ride to feature Mickey.
Oh, neat.
And it'll be done in the vein. I don't know if you had seen the new animated shorts they've been doing.
Yeah.
It's done in that style.
Okay.
So you'll be transported into an actual living cartoon, basically. And they also announced that an import from Disney Shanghai, the Tron Light Cycle Power Run is heading to...
We did this last week.
Yeah, we did. No, but they did officially announce that. So a lot... and they also announced with the Infinity War, they announced the villains of this film. Not only will we see Thanos, but we'll also see his children.
Well, that's what they call them, yeah.
Yeah.
The Black Order.
The Black Order. So we'll get to see those characters go up against...
The mini-bosses.
Yes, basically. The Children of Thanos, known as the Black Order.
Man.
Mark Ruffalo also said we shouldn't hold our breath for a standalone Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm okay with, actually. I know you're kind of bummed.
I had mixed feelings.
Yeah.
And they obviously didn't nail it the last time, so...
And he's just a very... Like, until they make Hulk... Smart Hulk.
No. Universal has the rights.
Oh, to Smart Hulk?
No, Universal has the rights to an individual Hulk
movie.
Oh,
a standalone Hulk movie.
Yeah.
So that's why he's still...
Although I'm surprised that hasn't run out yet, but...
Well, you know, I mean...
How these rights...
I mean, they lost Ghost Rider, and of course, that we saw that, and Blade, who Now they're
and Daredevil.
And Daredevil. Yeah.
Fox had Daredevil.
Yeah. So
yeah, stuff. I don't know. Might be the part of the deal is that because when he shows up in these other movies, that counts or something.
That could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
But yeah, no. An individual Hulk movie is a tough thing to do. It could be done. Planet Hulk would have been the perfect one, and they kind of grafted that onto Thor.
Thor, which eh.
So it's like, we're probably not gonna get one.
Yeah,
probably. That's fine.
The other big news that was announced this weekend was BBC, after the events of Wimbledon on Sunday, announced in a neat little video, they introduced us to the 13th Doctor of Doctor Who.
What?
Yes.
I didn't hear about this.
And they revealed that for the first time in the history of Doctor Who in the 53 years now, 54 years?
Something like that.
Of the show's existence, for the first time, the Doctor is going to regenerate into a female. And she will be played by Jodie Whittaker, who not only is she in Broadchurch, which is a great show over there, which stars another Doctor, David Tennant, but she was also in Attack the Block, which you like tremendously.
Oh, is she the nurse?
Yes.
Oh, she's good.
Yes.
She's good.
Yes.
I mean, she wasn't the best thing in that movie, but she was good.
No, but I always thought, you always said that her and John Boyega.
Boyega was amazing in Attack the Block.
But yeah, she's the nurse in Attack the Block.
Oh, okay. So, yes. She was good.
Yeah. But they announced her in... Accepting the key to the TARDIS and then pulling her hood down to reveal that it was that the Doctor is now female. She will take over the Christmas special as Capaldi regenerates into Jodie's Doctor. We'll get a new season next year with the new Doctor. So
and new showrunner.
Yes, and new showrunner Chris Chibnall.
All right.
I'm excited. I'm excited not as a male feminist or anything. I'm excited for a change for the Doctor because. We've had all these doctors. We've had young doctors and old doctors. The only three things we've never had is a ginger.
Amongst the things we've never had.
A ginger. We've never had a ginger doctor, which he always complains that he's never ginger.
I know, whatever.
We've never had a female, and we've never had a black doctor. We've never had any other nationality of doctor.
We had a Chinese doctor?
Other than white. Like, he's always been white.
Well, okay. Scottish. There's a reason for that.
I agree.
Great Britain was... up until fairly recently, I think, a largely Caucasian country.
I agree, yes. But it's nice to have a change and to have a female stepping into the role of the Doctor, and especially a great actress like herself who, you know, will, if given the right material, will shine, I think. And that's we were talking about this before the show.
About this early, like,
Capaldi suffered because the writing suffered, and that's what they gave him to work with. And he did the best he could.
Yeah, I thought Capaldi was a real sad missed opportunity because I thought they were going to go somewhere interesting with it. And I think they pulled back on it.
Yes.
I think they're always afraid. They always every now and then try to make the Doctor a little darker, and then they just chicken out about it because they get complaints.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is if you really embrace that, kind of like push through the fan backlash, I think you could come up with some amazing stories.
Oh, God, yeah.
But they always kind of, because he's his beloved, blah, blah, blah. They always wimp out. Yeah.
Right.
As I was saying, because here's the thing, is obviously Facebook blew up.
Oh, my God, yes.
And people were, like, angry.
Livid.
And,
completely upset. Like, I'm never watching Doctor Who again. This is bullshit. People over in London were like, we fund you, BBC. You should hear our anger and arguments. Blah blah blah. It's like
welcome to Illinois.
It's like welcome to our world, man. Like, yeah. I was completely taken aback by the outburst because just what 2 years ago when Capaldi, 3 years ago when Capaldi came on, people before they announced Capaldi were like, oh, we hope it's a woman. We hope it's
I say that those are different people than the ones complaining. I mean, it's a big fandom.
Yeah.
And I think that certain elements are noisier than others.
Right.
But, yeah, my thing is I'm not excited. I'm not unexcited. I'm curious.
Right.
And my thing is, first of all, you know, a lot of people are dismissing this just because it's a politically correct motivated decision. And my thing is, so what?
Yeah.
I concede that.
Yeah.
I completely concede that it's this thing to be correct and blah, 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 and progressive. And
right.
Question one, is she a good actress? And
yes.
You've already kind of, pushed that. But we'll see.
Right.
I remember her being okay. I don't remember her being the best thing in that movie, but I remember her being fine.
Yeah.
And you say Broadchurch is really good. Yes. Question two is, will she have an interesting take on the character? Because I thought Capaldi had an interesting take on the character, and like I said, they undermined it.
It took him a little bit, though. Once they started adding, like, his guitar playing skills to it, it became a... Yeah.
They went down on that. And then question three is, because we've got a new showrunner coming in, will it be like the early Moffat-Smith stuff, where Moffat really brought his A-game and really wanted to... really worked with Smith... And I think that the Moffat-Smith stuff was really good, especially the early seasons with Pond. Because I think Moffat really, you know, I think with Capaldi, he just kind of had lost steam, and he was treading water. And like I said, I think they wanted to do something, and then that got backlash, and they kind of backtracked. And So with this new showrunner, will they mesh, or will it be another Capaldi situation where it becomes like a mess?
Right.
To me, that's what matters is the product. I don't care what the motivation is for making it.
Just give me a good Doctor Who show.
Just give me a good Doctor Who show. And, like, there's nothing about this character in 53 years, aside from the fact that he was a grandfather in, like, a couple of the early serials. Yes. But even then, you know, that could be a... You know, like, there was nothing inherently masculine about this character.
Right.
There's nothing about this guy... I mean, you know, and in fact, I think, personally... The knock that I have, one of the biggest complaints I have about especially the earlier episodes of the reboot or whatever, the New Who is the doe-eyed lovesick companion love story that they would shoehorn into every season.
Yeah,
you know,
like everyone except for Donna.
Well, yeah, and Donna was clearly a reaction to that.
Yes,
I mean, she immediately says, "I don't want to be a girlfriend. I want to be your mate." And he's like, "Not like that. I want to be your buddy." But yeah, like Rose, and then Martha was just really sad because, like they, like her unrequited thing just did not work.
No,
The only one that really worked was River.
Yeah,
and the thing is with River, you never got the sense that it was necessarily romantic. It was like they were equals.
Yes,
you know they were a couple, but they were a couple of equals, not necessarily this, you know, Morticia and Gomez dancing in the moonlight kind of thing. It was a, you know, but a couple that were together, but you know, like I could see her with this person.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a more of an equal friend relationship. I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a marriage, but there are different kinds of marriages.
Yeah.
There are more passionate and there are less passionate. I, you know, point being, I've never seen the Doctor as a character that had to have male bits to do his job.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with giving a woman the chance to prove that she can be just as good as a doctor. I mean, I've in some of my little fanfics that I've clicked around, I've dealt with female doctors.
Yeah.
Well,
they've kind of been setting up because the last couple of years they've been using Missy to great,
you know. Yeah, and that was the tip off.
Yeah.
Which I think that was the tip of the spear.
Well, even before that, the general on Gallifrey got killed. And when he regenerated, he became a woman.
Well, and they... Well, even
they kind of started setting that
even
up.
Even before that, my young friend, when Ramona regenerated,
she
walked out and she's like, "Do you like this?" And Baker was like, "Eh." And she's like, "Okay." She went back. She came back out like a completely different actress. "Do you like this?"
Yeah.
Like, there was a sense that you could kind of, like choose.
Right.
Unless you're the actual doctor. And then, like, generally... It seems like the rules for the Time Lords never really apply to him.
Yeah.
Like, he's always... You know, he can't... fly the TARDIS properly. Yeah. He can't regenerate properly.
Yeah,
he can't quite control it. Although it was implied Capaldi was a choice.
Yes,
that, you know, because it was a
subconscious choice.
It was a subconscious choice from the guy from the Pompeii episode.
Yep, that he rescued.
So point being, these, you know, are ancient alien things that aren't really human.
Yeah,
I like it better the less human they are.
Right.
Then so whatever the gender is really irrelevant. And one of the things I almost posted on Facebook, and I texted you, "We're going to talk about this, or we're going to do an episode."
Right.
And you're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Okay, then I want to..." I saw someone post, and it was a friend of a friend, so I don't really know the person who actually did the original post. I didn't want to comment on it. I almost posted it on my thing. But what he said was really kind of it's something I've been saying for years, is he was like, "You know, I've met Harry Potter fans that were bullies."
Right.
"I've met Star Trek fans that were against diversity and inclusiveness."
Right.
"Now we've got Doctor Who fans that are freaking out that a woman is a doctor." And you wonder if they watch these shows that there's, quote, fans.
Watch
quote,
or read the books or see the movies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And my thing was, like, because that's one of my issues with Star Wars fans for years, is that they're greedy mother suckers.
Yeah.
And you're like, did you watch the first film? Han Solo did the right thing at the end and kind of cost him in the long run.
Yeah.
Like being a greedy jerk is not the message of the movies.
No, not at all.
So it's just like, you wonder who these people are. And of course, some of it comes from female fans.
Yeah.
The fangirls that kind of got into it with Tennant.
And Smith.
And these kind of cute bishy boy doctors. And you know, they're like magic boyfriend imaginary.
Yeah, because I saw a lot of women pissed. Like,
yeah.
This is crap. This is not my Doctor Who. And it's like, what is wrong with you people? Like,
they want their imaginary boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
And I was telling you before we started this, I was watching a video about...
reveal of Capaldi.
It was revealed. Well, it involved the reveal of Capaldi. I can't remember what the actual episode, the actual video was about. But they had video from that, and it's this girl over in England, and she's crying and bitter and angry because he's this quote ugly old man. And I wish I looked as good as Capaldi. My age. But point being, he wasn't a cute little, you know,
right?
Cute little boy band doctor, which I think is, and I think they kind of. And I said this when Capaldi came in, too, that they kind of misread their modern audience.
Yes.
There are a lot of girls that came in because they kind of like the cute doctor. So.
Well, an old friend of mine, Arthur Childers, posted something. I've seen one like this, too. Posted basically a regeneration. It's called the regeneration cycle. And it's like, regeneration, new doctor announced. I hate this guy. New doctor's first episode. He's okay, I guess. But the last guy was still better. End of the new doctor's first season. Best doctor ever. Doctor announces his departure. No, there's no way you can replace him. Regeneration. And then the cycle begins anew.
Yeah.
Which is literally what it's done every time. People were pissed when Matt Smith was announced. He's too young. You know, look at him. He's not that cute. What does he have? Like, I hate this guy. He's dumb looking. And then halfway through, they're like, he's the best doctor ever. And he left. And everybody's like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always the same thing, it seems, over and over and over again. So... Jesus, that's crazy. But the Doctor Who thing, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
I'm not excited, but I'm intrigued
because I thought this last season of Doctor Who.
Yeah, you've said that.
Was really, really good. Yeah. It was a really well done season of Doctor Who, especially seeing as it was. What's this? I think Capaldi's last season, but
Moffat's
last season. I thought Moffat brought his B game. I mean, it wasn't his A game, but it was good, and it was well done. It was intriguing and exciting, and I felt for the characters in that, and I was like, well, this is really cool. So I don't know. It's we'll see. We'll see in December with the Christmas episode, and we won't see her first episode until next spring. So
yeah.
Or even next summer. So we'll see. But as of right now, things are looking interesting in the Doctor Who world. I didn't want to talk about...
But in August, you and I will have an interesting little experience where I'll actually get to watch the Five Doctors.
Oh, God, yes. All Rift Tracks.
You'll get a taste of the original.
Well, I've seen bits and pieces of the Five Doctors. I've never seen the entire thing, but I've seen bits and pieces of it. And, of course, I've seen old Doctor Who, so I know what the old show is like.
All right.
You know, I know what to come into expecting that. I'm very curious to see what Rift Tracks does because... The Five Doctors is like we've talked about before is very goofy because they couldn't get everybody back for it. Like
no, they couldn't get Baker.
Baker wouldn't
they,
come
they
back.
They couldn't get Baker wouldn't come back, and then Hartnell I think had already
Hartnell's
passed on.
Was dead. Hartnell has passed on.
Well, they got another actor.
They got another actor,
but they do use a clip. Like,
yes,
they specifically wanted to be able to put him in the credits.
Right.
So they use the clip where he says goodbye to Susan, which is a famous quote about no tears and
right.
And then of course. It'll be funny because at the end, do you remember the one with the master where they opened up the time lock, the one with the drums?
Yes,
I think it's Tennant's last episode.
Yes,
and it's what's his name? What's the actor? He's kind of a big name actor. He was James Bond, Dalton.
Right, Timothy Dalton.
So in the Five Doctors, you meet him as a completely a completely different character.
Really?
Yeah, you meet Rassilon. The whole thing is about the Tomb of Rassilon.
Right.
So, like when they brought back Rassilon, I was like, oh my god, it's Rassilon!
That's funny.
So it's going to be weird for you to be like, so that guy's Timothy Dalton?
That's Timothy Dalton?
And he's been dead for a billion years?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Because he's the like the king of the Time Lords or something, isn't he?
He was like an early powerful Time Lord. Yeah.
Ah, interesting stuff. I just wanted to talk about Carrie and I going. We got out of the house on Sunday.
Pick out the phone
and went flea marketing. I just wanted to talk about someone. So we went to the Third Sunday, did some antique stores, kind of hung around Bloomington. But mm-hmm. I was kind of impressed with you know, we found some cool stuff, but mm-hmm. I was most impressed. There was a guy that had a booth there, and this is the only thing I want to talk about. So get off your phone and listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
David?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you son of a... This guy at the booth, I noticed he had a Green Ghost game. He had a bunch of old games from, like, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I got to ask, how much is your Green Ghost game? And he's like, that's $40. And I'm thinking, are you freaking kidding me? I was like, well, is it all there? I'm like, because if it's all there, even Carrie was like, that's a good price. I'm like, if it's all there, I'm buying it. It wasn't, sadly. It was missing a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he had this stack at the end of a table, and they were wish books. And he had $10 a piece on them. And I was like, oh. So I was like flipping through, and I found a Sears from 81 and a JCPenney from 87. And I was like, what's best you can do on these? He's like, I can do 8 a piece. And I just kept thinking, I was like, if I had the money, I would buy every single, because he had like 10 or 12 of them. And I'm just like, oh my God, I would buy them all. Because you never see those at shows.
Mm-hmm.
You never. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of, it was kind of fun to find a couple of wish books from the early 80s. That was fun to look through. But
mm-hmm.
I love, I'm done. Are you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, stop it. I'm going to smack you.
Actually, that does. Like I'm kind of heartbroken because there's a couple of years in there that I would love to like see the book. Like, 83 was a good year.
I've got an 83 downstairs.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of... My goal is not to have them all. My goal is to get every...
Get all of them.
Well, no, I know. My goal is to get one from every year.
You're a terrible collector.
So,
how is that not all of them?
Well, I don't have all of them. Well, I mean all of them like that. I mean like all the JCPenney ones and all the...
I thought you were talking about the Wish Books. Ones.
Well, no, I'm just talking about one from every year. Doesn't matter who it came from, just one from every year.
Yeah, it kind of matters. They were generally better.
Ward's was really good, and JCPenney's Wish Books were really good. Sears is okay. Sears, it wasn't bad. But yeah, they're generally... And I found a gold toy from the 80s that's still intact.
Oh, the gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With gold plastic. That isn't broken. And it was in a bin. It was thrown in a bin for $1. And I was like, oh, I'll take it for $1.
Well, it's not necessarily that every gold toy has that metal in it.
No, but necessarily. It's. I imagine it does, though.
And I don't know. I still got a Sopano that's in good shape.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh, another Otherworld guy.
I found another Otherworld guy. He was really dirty, and I cleaned him up. And he's one of his arms is ripping at the bottom. But he was 50 cents. So why not? I'm like, oh, nice. He's now riding my bird downstairs.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's not a euphemism.
No, it's not. It's not a euphemism at all. It's true. But yeah, I found a Star
Cake pans.
Yeah, I found some more cake pans. I found a couple of Get Along Gang ones and a Popples one at Goodwill of all places in Bloomington. I was like, meh. I saw a lot of cool stuff, and there was a lot of stuff that I saw was really expensive. But I bought a Star Wars interactive video board game, which you don't even really need the video, I don't think, for it. But
probably not.
No, but it was. I was like, I remember when this came out because it came out during Power of the Force 2.
Yep.
And I looked at the back of it. I was like, oh yeah, it's a 3D board game. I was like, I'll buy that. Huh. It was $10. I was like, eh, what the heck? I'll buy it. Like one more. I did see the antique store. They had that Escape from the Death Star game. We both have that, right? Don't you have that?
Yes.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay. He had it like. In like you know, in two cases to show off that it was all complete. Why he had it like that? Like two glass display cases that open, like okay. I don't know, like showcases. I don't know why he had it in there like that. But he wanted like $300 for it. Wow. I was like, holy crap! It's like this guy's out of his damn mind.
That would have first of all, it would have to be pristine and sealed.
Yeah, it would have to be pristine and sealed. I'm like, it was beat up. Like pieces look like they've been chewed on. I'm like, this guy's nuts, man. Like, what in
people
the
just
heck?
Think that stuff is valuable when it's not.
They do. There was something I saw there, and I made a mental note. Masters figures. Somebody at the show uh-huh. had Masters figures, and nothing like real major, like Mossman, like a complete Mossman with his weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted $50 for him. I was like, who pays $50 for friggin' Mossman?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do these people get a hold of this stuff and like, ah, they're worth all the money? No, they're not. They're not really. They're not. Mossman's like a $15 figure, maybe, at most. $50 mm-hmm. bucks? No. Will you stop that? I'm going to smack you. mm-hmm. Oh my god, I hate you so much right now. Well, Dave and I will have plenty to talk about next week as San Diego Comic-Con rolls into the universe this weekend. Dave and I will be doing the best thing, which is sit at home and watch the coverage of all the people hard at work, and we can sit here and enjoy their spoils because we don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have plenty to talk about next week. We'll go see Valerian this weekend, and you're seriously going to get smacked.
I know.
Like, you're close.
I know.
I tolerate a lot of things
from you. I know.
But that's starting to grate.
When you started going down the San Diego Comic-Con road, I was like, I gotta do it one more time.
I'm gonna beat you senseless.
Promise.
Boy.
Valerian should be good.
Yes, Valerian should be very good. We'll see. I've seen some little clips of it. It looks very interesting. Again, we say it should be good. I don't know how good it's gonna be, but it's gonna be damn interesting, that's for sure.
1 minute you're talking the film up, the next minute you're talking it down.
Well, I keep flip-flopping. I can't make up my mind on if it looks good or not. I'm like,
it looks good.
It's Basson, so I'm sure it's
Basson
pretty cool.
Basson is based on a crazy French comic book thing. Yeah. It should be interesting.
It should be interesting.
It's something different.
It is,
and
which
is what
we need.
At this point, yeah, I'm kind of in the mood.
Which is what we need as we build towards Hulk Ragnarok in November.
Hulk Ragnarok, Justice League, and Star Wars.
And Star Wars, and the Star Wars is...
I'm excited about Star Wars, but I'm like, I almost think I've reached peak Star Wars.
We've reached peak Star Wars?
I'm thinking I'm getting there.
Fair enough.
Well, I'm hoping... this one looks good.
Yes, it does.
Looks good. It looks interesting. They're talking about how the focus is on the characters. I'm like, good.
Yes.
So
needs to be.
Yeah.
So much needs to be. But gang, we'll be back next week with a wonderful show of San Diego Comic-Con reveals and such. So make sure you tune in then. Make sure you check out our sponsor, Shelled Comics, the Shelled Comics blog, and more at shelledcomics.com. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. And then check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder and youtube.com/BoardTheShow. Check it out. Hit subscribe, mash the like button, comment. And gang, until next week, David.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I hate you so much. Will you say the catchphrase?
Oh, yeah. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.
Mm-hmm.